and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play, designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet. Use promo code KFNS and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today, only at MyBookie.
Brookdale Farms is open for all of your favorite fall activities. Get into the season with hay rides, corn mazes, and so much more. Just a short drive west of St. Louis, Brookdale Farms has something for the whole family. The petting zoo, playground, and inflatables are perfect for the kids, and you can knock out all of your fall needs with pumpkins, gourds, and more at the Pumpkin Patch. They're open Wednesday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., with pumpkin sales open on Monday and Tuesday. Check out all of their seasonal activities at brookdalefarmsinc.com.
The Village Bar is open Monday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. for curbside pickup, and the dining room is now open. Get a couple burgers for yourself, or their quart-sized chili is perfect to feed the entire family. Located at 12247 Manchester Road in De Pere. To order, call 314-821-4532.
This year has caused us to start asking the tough questions when it comes to our financial futures. And Joe Roussevens of FRA Trust is one of the most credentialed people in his field. His team is the best at income planning, estate planning, and managing taxes. They have the experience dealing with people from all walks of life. Don't be one of the 62% of people that don't have their affairs in order. Get these secrets before it's too late. Claim Joe Roussevens' dynamic new best-selling book, Take a Step, at TaxFreeStep.com.
Diana from Neustetter's Fine Jewelers here to remind you, we don't just offer the best pieces, we offer one of the last master hand engravers in our country. My father can create timeless, personal, and unforgettable pieces. Come by our showroom at the corner of Big Ben and Doherty Ferry or learn more online at wowdiamonds.com.
Fitness will always be about keeping a routine. And the best routines in life will always make time for enjoying yourself. Michelob Ultra, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. AB Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pitter-patter? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on parade. But I'm not afraid. This rover.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Well, how are you doing, folks? All of you in Radio Land. If you're not in a very good mood, I have a suggestion. Just step outside. It's fantastic. I went out and blew leaves, one of my favorite things to do, with my big backpack, jetpack-looking leaf blower, the Red Max.
Whose leaves?
My leaves. My house. Oh, I see what he did there. I said, I went out to blow leaves. He said, whose leaves? You know, there is a joke like that about a guy and a limo driver, and the guy is a wealthy guy, and he's telling his buddy, he goes, yeah, man, I'm telling you, I was so drunk, I went out to the limo, and I blew chunks all night, and he goes, let's go, chunks. That was the driver. So thank you for reminding me of that joke. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to what I think will be a good day. I don't have any reason to think that. I just do. We're glad you're with us on this, Tuesday the 13th. but not just any 13th, the 13th of October, which, as you know, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Yes, we will have the Burke segment. Yes, We will take your calls. And yes, Dan Buffo will join us next hour because it's Tuesday. We'll talk. I've discovered a couple of good things. I watched two episodes last night of something that I think most listeners would enjoy. And we'll get to all that. But first, let's do this so that I don't get too far behind. I don't give people a chance to contribute. Let me give you our numbers. These are the numbers for now or later, pre-Buffa, post-Buffa, during Buffa. They don't change. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. This is Tim Woodburn, everybody.
Thank you, Frank.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I have a quick one and a funny one. I've actually got one that's going to require some participation of everybody on the show today because you're big on impromptu
guy. I'm
gay.
Whoa,
impromptu said, gay. What was that?
He said I'm a big impromptu gay.
Keep that
I'm
thing.
A little big. Hold on. He's two out of three. I'm a little big still. Yeah. I do like impromptu things, but on strike three, now you missed that one. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
That's all right.
My apologies. You're big on impromptu guy.
Okay.
And so I'm going to tell you the story that I actually wrote for today's newscast, but I saved it for the Burke segment because it deserves Burke segment handling with love and care. And I guarantee there is going to be a documentary about this woman I'm about to tell you about from Illinois who pleaded guilty in federal court today in Illinois. There's going to be a documentary about her. And I just want you to listen to this quick story. I'll keep it quick. And I want you to give a suggestion of what you think that documentary name should be.
Okay.
Kind of as a group project.
Okay.
A 35-year-old Highland, Illinois woman.
Now, this is true.
This is absolutely true.
Okay.
A 35-year-old Highland, Illinois woman pleaded guilty in federal court today to four felony counts of wire fraud and one count of mail fraud after she admitted faking. Now, this woman is a licensed and registered nurse in Oklahoma and was registered nurse in Illinois until recently. She admitted faking to having muscular dystrophy and breast cancer in order to receive financial benefits.
Whoa. Wow.
Now her faking went to this extreme. The charging documents say that she became wheelchair bound and went to church on a regular basis and neighborhood and shopping and everything and sold this to everybody in her church and in her neighborhood and then went to a charity camp in Texas in back-to-back years in 2015 and 16 and allowed people at that camp to dress her and bathe her.
How old is she?
35 now.
Yeah. Wow.
So this would have been, she was 30 when this went down.
Well, now this is when people always need volunteers. Mm-hmm. I would imagine a lot of people, I'll bathe you.
Right. Well,
yeah, I'll bathe you.
Unbeknownst to these volunteers in Texas, bathing this 30-year-old woman that doesn't have muscular dystrophy, who's sitting in a wheelchair, she had already been banned from nursing by the state of Oklahoma because her coworkers caught her stuffing pillows under her shirt on two different occasions, claiming that she was pregnant and eventually lost twins on both pregnancies.
Oh, wow.
And was walking around showing fake ultrasounds to these nurses in Oklahoma. And Oklahoma caught on that this gal was you know, crazy.
Yeah.
And they suspended her license. So she said, all right, time to pack the bags, move to Illinois. Let's go get me a license there, which she did, and became a licensed nurse in Illinois, found a church, moved to Highland, Illinois, fakes muscular dystrophy.
Easy, Frank.
And then when her own preacher called her out, and her family called her out for this being fake, she moves to a different town and goes to a different church and claims to be a breast cancer survivor in October of 17 and March and in 2018, and then was allowed to attend something called the Young Survival Coalition National Summit in Orlando and scored thousands of dollars of donated items for herself, including a giant road bicycle and cycling gear for somebody who has this handicap.
Wow.
It's not over.
But wait, there's more.
Then she admitted, then she stole her mother's credit card and bought a $4,500 specialized transportation device for herself, bicycle that's like wide with like baskets and stuff on it,
right.
Has the bike delivered, then calls the credit card company and says, I never ordered this. This is fraud. I don't know what's going on here. They're not. I didn't receive any bike. Somebody stole my. And they refunded her money on the card, and she kept the bike.
Wow.
This chick almost deserves an award. Wow. I'm not kidding. Wow.
So the state of Illinois finally caught on to what was going on because her own preacher and people in her family ratted her out, and they turned her in, and the state of Illinois conducted an investigation, and they suspended her license and ordered her to undergo a mental health evaluation. And today she pleaded guilty to these charges in Illinois, and she faces up to 2 years in prison when she's sentenced in January.
That's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm sure you're going to say like 20.
Now, yeah. What's the name of this 1 hour documentary? Okay. What's the name of this?
Right. Mooches.
What is it?
Mooches. You know, like people who mooch things? She's a mooch.
She's more than a moocher.
Okay.
She's
would be committed. A series.
I'm just spitballing out here.
You'd have to have documentaries on several different
like
people.
Like hoarders.
And then have like a 10-series episode called Moochers, and there's a different moocher
moochers
in every
is
one.
Plural.
This is like Catch Me If You Can.
It is. Frank Abagnale. Yeah. And is that what the movie was called?
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You
okay.
Can.
Yeah. All right. It's not exactly like that, but this is a good... This is a good little exercise and a good project here. What do you call? And I'm going to go with 1 hour and a half documentary, mm-hmm. not a series.
Okay.
This is just
I agree.
The documentary
right.
on this woman.
Wow.
Let's just think about what mm-hmm. she did. She mainly
the
most
facade.
Of what she did was medically related. She
isn't that like Munchausen syndrome or something like that?
No, that's where you fall in love with your kidnappers.
No, that's
Stockholm syndrome.
Okay, you're right, right.
I think Munchausen is
when... That's when you pretend your kid is sick, right?
I thought that was...
Or is it you?
Oh, crap, yeah, no, I think you're right.
He'll look it up. I think it's when you use your child. You go, my child, I'm sorry, has...
No, he's right. It's mental illness and when you repeatedly act as if you have a physical or mental disorder.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, does she actually believe that she had these disorders?
No, I'm going to say no.
Or did she just, she just knew how to
conquer
the world? One thing I left out. Before she was sentenced, or before she went to court and went uh-huh. to and pleaded guilty, she decided it'd be a great idea for the judge and juries out there of the world to go on the Dr. Phil show.
Wow!
What?
And on the Dr. Phil show, they brought all this out, and she just said, "I'm sorry, I'm just a pathological liar."
I got the title.
All right. Wow! So they busted her on Dr. Phil?
Well, yeah, she kind of came out and like I guess she was looking for leniency to show that she's remorseful or whatever. But now keep in mind. This gal was a licensed professional nurse in Oklahoma and Illinois. So I don't know what my second word is, but I think my first word of the documentary is nurse. It's nurse blank. But I digress. Frank, what'd you come up with?
My title for the documentary on this woman mm-hmm. is simply this. I told you I was sick.
Oh, like Ooh. A sentence type thing?
Well... Meaning, she's sick, all right,
yeah.
but
yeah.
not with muscular dystrophy,
yeah.
not with the...
I like it.
Yeah.
I told you I was
like
sick.
It.
The
yeah.
true story of whatever her name is.
Sarah Delaschmidt is her
yeah.
name.
Yeah. The true Sarah story of... I told you I was sick.
This is kind of immature, and if I put some thought into it, I could probably come up with a better word, but the best one I came up with as I decided to make this my Burke segment in the break room right before the show was just Nurse Nut Job.
Nurse, but it sounds like a comedy. I do like the idea of nurse, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, what's a fancy word for liar
facade.
Or lying? Ooh.
Nurse facade.
Ooh, I like that.
But nurse facade. But she didn't put up a nurse facade.
Okay.
She put up a facade
of somebody
right.
who was seriously ill.
But she's also a thief.
Right.
I mean, this woman
nurse
is...
Nurse klepto? No.
Well, but you have to be sick and twisted to do what she did. So she was sick, all right.
Yeah.
Told you I was sick.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
I like it.
I think you found something.
I'll keep thinking about it.
Yeah, I cannot believe all of the things that I just explained to you would not result in because everybody's doing documentaries these days.
Yeah.
On anybody.
Oh, this is a good
on
one.
Anybody anything.
Yeah. This
has to get one. Somebody has to get one right. Just think of all the video there has to be. I mean, just and the news reports I saw this. There's photos of her posing in the wheelchair with like, you know, and the reason.
Okay, but would you do the documentary with real footage or would you reenact it and have people play out? I think you have to have them play that because there's not enough existing footage to tell this story.
I don't know. You're probably right. There probably have to be a lot of interviews to fill an hour and a half of people that knew her. You know, it's kind of like First 48 or one of those things for Forensic Files where they had just photos of people and the guy talked for 15 seconds over a photo of somebody doing something.
I think it'd be better as a docu like movie
mm-hmm.
where
somebody actually
like
reenacted
the Ted Bundy stuff.
Yeah.
Where they're actually telling you the story. The following is based on actual events. told you I was sick.
It's just amazing to me. She started doing this behavior when she was in her mid-20s. I mean, what? Just sitting around one day and think this up, or at what point do you?
The other title? It's one word title.
What?
Sicko.
Ooh. I like it.
Because she is.
Well, you know, we've already had the one in Western Missouri that we talked about on this very show of the mom who claimed that her daughter was terminally ill, and they did a documentary on her.
Shaved her head.
Right.
Yeah.
Said that she had all kinds of crazy diseases. So. All right, so that was just a fun little project, and I thought that would be
interesting. And to do that, unlike this, to do that, you have to coach and teach your kid to lie and tell everybody you're sick and act sick.
Well, that's the thing with the daughter. The daughter didn't know any better. The daughter had gone her whole life believing her mom because her mom had just told her constantly, you have these diseases, you can't do this.
No, hon, you can't do that. You're really sick.
I mean, she drugged her and everything.
In this case, though, this nurse, and she's a licensed nurse, so you know that she's educated. She has to be able to talk to talk with other people who have MS or other people at these conventions with regard to what her symptoms are and what she's going through and how do you handle this situation. I mean, I'm assuming eventually she tripped herself up.
Well, the average person couldn't have got as far as she did because you're right. She knows the lingo.
Well, that minister kind of caught her. However, yeah. I don't know how he would have caught her.
I don't know. Well, the reason they prosecuted her, I guess, is because she went and took the place of other people at these conventions who could have really used this help and received funds from these nonprofits that could have really gone to other people who really did have these problems and instead went to her.
Wow.
So that's sort of the baseline for the seriousness of the charge and the fraud. That's why the federal government got involved.
2 years, it just seems light to me.
It does.
There are people in prison longer than that had a little marijuana years ago.
And they say it's a maximum of 2, and that actually the defense and the prosecutors have a tentative agreement to ask for only 8 months.
Wow.
You know, but if the judge, you know, can say yay or nay to that.
Well, she needs to be a
mental institution.
Psychiatric hospital.
All right. That's a good one.
Thank you. And the second one was I had my second ever COVID test today, and I'm happy to report the first one I had in May where they scraped my brain with a Brillo pad of both nostrils, far and away the worst 10 seconds of my life.
Mm-hmm. We think they might have removed a little
bit. I felt like I had a lobotomy. I felt like Nurse Ratched was operating on me on the first one. Today was a drive-thru at Mercy right here in Kirkwood, and they had the puffy pill. They didn't go all the way up and brain scrape. They don't have to go all the way up there anymore. And incredibly to me, they use the same swab on both nostrils. Like they go up the right and then she brings it out and we're going to go right back up there with the stuff that's on the right one. And they went right back up there with the left one. And it was 1/10 the aggravation, maybe even 1/20.
When do you get the results?
Within 24 hours.
All right. Well, here's our dilemma. Tim says yesterday, he goes, hey, I got to go get another COVID test. And he says, if I'm positive, now this is interesting because I don't know how this works, the rules. If he tomorrow calls and goes, positive for COVID, okay, he has to quarantine himself,
for
2 weeks. What about us? Because he
said
something like,
I think we have to quarantine
like,
as well.
Why? We don't have it.
Because we're in direct contact with him.
But if we get tested and we're negative, why would we have to be quarantined? If we're negative,
I'm just saying, I'm not sure.
The incubation period could be, you know, that's an excellent question.
I was just
around my family all weekend as well. And so, you know, and the reason I had to have this is because I'm having a sleep study done. I sleep with a CPAP. So they're making me have this test before a sleep study, which I think is ridiculous. But whatever, that's the rule. So
I think it's pretty normal now for anything. Before they do something, they want you to have a COVID test.
And I was not the drive-through line today. I said, "Let me get this out of the way because this is going to be the worst part of my day." So I was there in the late 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
I was ninth in line in the drive-through at 9:50.
Wow. Can anybody go? Do you have to have a requisition like blood test? You just drive up and get it.
I believe you can because when the nurse came to ask me my name, she goes, "Do you have an order, or are you here because you're symptomatic?"
Oh,
so it's my understanding that.
Aren't you supposed to, like, quarantine?
And then I saw another facility after I was leaving there that had a sign up that said, you know, walk in, COVID-19 test right now. We can take care of you. We can take you right now. That was somewhere near Lindbergh before I got on 44 East from Mercy and Kirkwood. There's a business that advertises.
What
do
you tell her? Tell your walk in? I
had a doctor's order.
Oh, okay.
To take the test. Yeah. I mean, it's like they require me to have this before my experiment on Friday.
I guess tomorrow, if you say you tested positive, then I guess we'll figure out what we're supposed to do. But according to some people, I thought you're supposed to shut the show down for two weeks.
Well, I think you're actually supposed to quarantine until you got your results as well. Like, if you've been tested, you're supposed to quarantine then.
That was the, well, he's right. That was not, let me tell you, that's an excellent point, because that was the case when I had the knee surgery. They wanted me to self-quarantine between the Friday night test and the Tuesday knee surgery, which was four long days.
So are you breaking the law right now?
No, because I specifically asked, do I need to self-quarantine? And they said no.
Oh, that's all right, then.
Wait, somebody's pulling up. Somebody's pulling up to the station right now. Hang on. Uh-oh. Police.
No, you know who it is? It's Sam Page.
Sam Page.
What's that, a 10-what?
A 10-19 because of COVID.
There you go. Lock the door.
No. If he is positive, though, do we get like 2 weeks off?
Well, yeah, unpaid.
Okay.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll take
vacation. Hey,
anybody else work segment?
I think
I would. I do have something, but Ben has been on hold for a little while.
Well, I have no screen.
I will turn.
You don't?
No. I will turn it to Ben.
Blank. Should I hit the power button? Yeah, the power
button. I will give it to Ben right now. And then
there it is. Yeah, there it is. I didn't have my screen wasn't on. Let me go to Ben. Ben, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great. AM in the PM.
Thank you, Ben. Hallelujah. What's up?
Well, Tim kind of mowed my lawn about the Gypsy Rose Blanchard story. That happened here in Springfield, where I live.
That's right. Oh, Gypsy Rose.
Gypsy Rose.
Oh, my goodness.
And, it is astounding that this girl visited hundreds of doctors, was completely healthy, and nobody caught it.
That is unbelievable.
She literally had a feeding tube put in because her mother said that she couldn't digest solid food.
Yeah, then her mom requested it, and she had a feeding tube put in.
Have,
she
didn't even need it. The peg in her stomach,
and
you're talking about?
And the doctors were looking at her legs, at her calves, and her obliques and her legs, and said, this doesn't look like a muscular dystrophy patient because her muscles haven't atrophied. Like, her muscles, it's obvious she's been walking around.
Right.
And all of that was still allowed to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And the HBO had enough on this that it was at least a three-part documentary. I don't remember how many it was, but it was at least three.
The three-part thing was called The Act. This is more of a...
HBO's was called Mommy Dead and Dearest.
Yeah, I watched that one.
Right.
Mommy
that
Dead and Dearest.
That was a great documentary. The one on Hulu was a reenactment.
Wasn't that like a four-part or a six-part series? I didn't watch episode because...
the daughter murdered the mom after all this.
The daughter's boyfriend murdered the mom.
Gotcha. No, well, this gets even better.
No, this girl, I feel for this girl. She's currently in prison right now, and I think she's getting out soon.
She got second-degree murder because she was in on it.
Yeah, she was in on it, but, you know, the mom kind of deserved it, in my opinion.
She's getting out in 2 years.
Great.
And the shocking thing about this whole thing was that everybody thought that Gypsy was this, you know, sick waif with no hair and in a wheelchair, and on the side she was texting this guy and sending him naked pictures of herself, and and they were reenacting sadomasochistic stuff. And
this Gypsy is the daughter whose mother pretended she was sick.
This mother convinced her daughter that she was.
Why would the girl have to go to prison if she's a victim of this?
Because
they
murdered the mother.
She's an accessory.
Fired in the murder.
Yeah, but her mom deserved to be killed.
Damn right.
Well,
sorry.
It may be true, but the difference between Munchausen and what Gypsy had, what Gypsy went through, that's called Munchausen by proxy.
Okay, so I was right. Munchausen is when you convince yourself you're sick. By proxy, you act like your kid is sick.
Yeah, you inflict it on somebody else.
Or another person. You are supposedly, you know, in charge of.
Right. Right, so that you can get a hold of their benefits, or you can get sympathy or money.
She collected literally millions of dollars in the form of air miles and trips to
Disneyland. She got a free house.
Wow.
Yeah,
free van.
Yeah, a free house. Yeah.
What happened to the boyfriend then?
He got charged with first degree murder.
The boyfriend got a life sentence.
He's not getting it.
Right. Wow. He should have. But she, to me, is a victim of mind control.
Well, what's really horrible about this whole thing is that she had this prison sentence, and they were interviewing her, and she said that she's in prison, but she's happy to be in prison because she feels way more free in prison than she ever did under her mother's care.
She was excited about getting an education in prison, Frank, because her mom only let her go to school till second grade.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, this girl wasn't educated. She didn't know any better. Her mom tortured her entire life.
So mom's dead.
Mom is dead and in the ground. Yeah. And Gypsy Rose, thanks to Ben, she gets out in 2 years. Now that I know
this
that,
this might be worth a mention during Buffett's segment with the mommy dead and dearest. And the other thing is called The Act.
Okay,
The Act.
All right, you guys remind me. We'll bring
I'm
it up.
I'm gonna watch both of them.
All right, Ben.
Oh, and before I let you guys go, I just would like to thank you for vanquishing Bongo Boy for once and for all.
You know, you're not the first person to say that. I got emails the last couple of days. Hallelujah, congratulations, good riddance. Yeah, everybody's glad to see that guy go. So you're in good company. All right,
you guys have a great show. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Ben from Springfield, Illinois. Way more Berks.
No, he's Springfield, Missouri.
Oh, Missouri. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's because I confused that with the Illinois. Yep. Story. Who else? Burke segment?
Dan?
No? Oh, I said, yeah.
Yeah.
You're
welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Frank. We're getting ready to move here pretty soon. We are...
good story, Dan.
Thank you. No, we ended up getting a condo in South County. We're living in a condo now. We're actually renting, so we're moving. We're 1 mile from Frank's daughter, exactly 1 mile from her, and then
my daughter said, either you move or we're moving.
I know. Get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
And then my daughter is actually going to move out that way, where on the other side. So our daughters will be not probably 2 miles from each other, and we're ending up moving now. So we're going to move, but now it's the process of looking for a moving company.
Well, are you going to rent a truck and do it yourself?
No, heck no.
Don't do that.
Oh, no. The days of doing that and trying to get people to help you, you know, hey, I've got beer over at the other house.
Well, that's an awkward thing to do. When you ask somebody, hey, I need some help me move. Well, now if the person says no, you know, then they look like feel like a schmuck.
Be prepared,
doing it.
No doubt. And be prepared for sticker shock, because I just did this.
Yes, I know.
Did I tell you what I paid?
No.
The company charged $275 just as a show-up fee, and then it was $200 an hour, and they bill in 10-minute increments.
Oh.
That's a three-man crew for one 18.
Here's the bad news. It took them 8 days
I know.
To move it.
I know.
Well, you know, rich people, like I know some people who have, it has taken multiple days because they have them come in and wrap every dish. And wrap everything up and everything, you know.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, if we ever move, that's how I'm going to do it. I understand. I'm not doing any of that. I'll just point here, there, point there, take that, and that'll be it, because it's just too much work.
No, we're going to go ahead and wrap everything up. We're in the process right now of getting rid of things, going through the closets and saying, I don't wear that, I don't wear that, I don't wear that, which is really cool, because now I've gotten rid of a bunch of stuff. Now I'm in the basement, starting to go through stuff
we're about to start it.
It's awful.
And you gotta just go room by room. It's the best way to do it. Here, this room, everything in this room, what stays, what goes. And I'm gonna tell you, there's stuff in my house, been there 34 years, that I would not let myself throw away, because I kept thinking, nah, I need to hang on. I might use that. It's been there for 30 years. I never used it.
The first hump you have to overcome is the clothes you really like that you know you're never going to fit in again.
Yep.
Or
the clothes that you know if you keep them, you'll gain weight and be able to wear them again. If you get rid of them, then you don't have those clothes to fall back on if you get heavy and all your clothes are too tight.
There are certain things that I keep, though, because, and this is like, these are like shirts that are very sentimental to me, and I will just keep them even though I won't wear them.
No. I can't, what are you talking about? I can't imagine a shirt that means anything.
I have a lot of radio station shirts. I have some old hockey jerseys.
I have radio station. What do I use the radio station shirts for? Buffing cloth for waxing the car. Because I don't want anything to do with past radio. I don't.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah I've got some stuff from the old station we came from, and I went through and picked those few shirts out, put them over in the garage. You use them with, you know, terry cloth rags and stuff.
That's I have some with. Of those. I have not. I don't have, like, a whole boatload of them, but I have a few. And then I have a couple of hockey jerseys that I...
Well, that's different.
Yeah, that I have. And so I keep those. Okay. But for the most part, I did just close my eyes and just throw stuff in a bag. And then you just don't even think about it. And then get rid of it as soon as possible.
All right, anything else, Burke segment?
No, I got nothing.
Close it. Burke segment's officially closed. Like I said, Dan Buffa comes in the 4 o'clock hour. One of the things that I will mention to him, and I watched... there have been two episodes so far last night. It's a docu-series, and there are 5 parts, and 2 have been aired. So I watched those 2 on Showtime. You can have an app. It's called Showtime Anytime. And it's called The Comedy Store. It is the story of the legendary Comedy Store in L.A., which was run by Mitzi Shore, mother of one of the least funny people ever born, Pauly Shore, who, if Pauly Shore's mom hadn't owned the Comedy Store, Pauly Shore would have never made it through one night at the Funny Bone or any local. He's not funny at all. So the Comedy Store is really, really interesting. And you'll hear the backstory of all of these comedians, most of them whose names you know. And what's really interesting and fun about it is to see them today, people you haven't seen for a long time. I'll give you an example. Stephen Wright, who to me... There are certain comedians who have had such unique stand-up routines. They're not like anybody else's. Steve Martin with the arrow through his head. It's just stupid stuff he did. Louis Anderson, who came out and right off the bat did fat jokes about, and they were just hysterical. Stephen Wright, who did that bizarre, dry, monotone delivery. I've got a rare photograph of Houdini locking himself out of his car. You know, that kind of stuff. So you see him and you don't even recognize him because he looks like an old homeless guy. There's a lot of interview time with David Letterman where he talks actually in a very positive way about Jay Leno, even though they don't speak to each other. It's interesting, but what it caused me to do, there's a part in there where they mention that I think it's Stephen Wright. Rolling Stone a few years ago did a list of the 50 best stand-up comics, and they listed Stephen Wright as the 15th greatest stand-up comedian. I don't know that I could disagree with that. 15th, not first. So what I went and pulled up the Rolling Stone article and the list of their 50 top stand-up comics.
Okay.
I'm going to run down a few. Number 50, barely made the list, was Wanda Sykes. Now, Wanda Sykes is funny, but a little of her, to me, goes a long way. 10 minutes of her.
I agree.
I'm kind of done. All right. 49. Aziz Ansari. Who the heck is that?
He's the Indian guy from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, and okay. He was, what was that movie he was in? Was he in that movie about the stand-up comic?
I don't know who he is. Maybe if I saw him. 48, Margaret Cho. I know who she is. And I don't know that I could argue with 48. 47 on the top, Elaine Boozler. Now, I haven't seen Elaine Boozler for years, and when I did, I didn't think she was that funny. But again, she's only 47. Number 46 in the top 50, Reggie Watts. I don't know who that is. Let me fast forward here. Let's go down to the top 30. Okay, or we'll be doing this all day. So here we go. Number 30, Woody Allen. I've never found Woody Allen to be funny.
I can't stand
Weird,
Woody Allen.
Kooky, quirky, bizarre, yes, but funny? No, not as a stand-up comic. Number 29, Dick Gregory. All right, sorry. Dick Gregory is a black activist.
Yeah.
He's always billed as comedian Dick Gregory. Never heard him say a funny thing. And I watched a couple of his stand-ups. 28, Robert Klein. This is a guy people like Limey don't know anything about. Mm-mm. But Robert Klein is a genius and was, I don't know about now, very, very funny. He's the guy who, Dan, you remember the routine where he did a bit on auditions for the new national anthem? and people would come in with their versions, and it was he was the guy to piano, and you go, okay, next, and somebody come up and go, America's the greatest place of all, and you know, they just do it, next, and he'd kick them off, and next, that's a funny bit, and I think he also did the one about swimming, where our parents used to tell us that if we got in the pool or lake or swam within an hour of eating, we'd get the cramps and we drown, which is just BS, but we were all taught that.
Right.
And he did a funny routine on that. So that's Robert Klein. Number 27, Red Fox. Now, again, Limey, you don't know who Red Fox is. Sanford and Son. You ever see that?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's Red. But before Sanford and Son, Red Fox, like Buddy Hackett, was very famous for the raunchiest, filthiest stand-up comedy routine anywhere. He and Hackett sort of had a handle on filth. And there were people who would go to either concert, Hackett or Fox in Vegas, who weren't familiar with their act, and they'd get up and leave. They would leave within 15 minutes. They were so stunned at how dirty they were.
It's like Bob Saget.
Oh, I didn't know Bob Saget was filthy. Oh, I watched America's Funniest Home Videos, and then I saw, holy cow, this guy's dirty. 26, I disagree with because I think he probably should be in the top 10, Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's better than number 26. He just is. And I don't even have to tell you Rodney Dangerfield. 25, Eddie Murphy. Okay, maybe. Maybe he should be a little closer to number one. Number 24, which means he got a better score than Murphy or...
Dangerfield.
Or Dangerfield, and I don't even know who number 24 is. Eddie Izzard? Who the heck is this?
Oh, he's an English comedian.
Eddie Izzard?
Oh, that says
he's
it all.
A stick. He just used to start off. He just walk out on stage in fishnets and high heels, and that was it.
23, I disagree. He should be closer to number one, Don Rickles.
Mm. Oh,
they definitely put him at 23. I don't think that's high enough on the chart. 22. Again, should be closer to number one, Jonathan Winters.
Oh, my goodness. He was hysterical.
Now, Limey, do you know who Jonathan
Winters is? No.
You like Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan Winters was Robin Williams before there was a Robin Williams.
Oh, okay.
He was brilliant at just taking anything, pick up a stick, pick up it, and just start doing a routine with it.
He played the baby in Mork and Mindy. Remember when they had a baby and it was like 6 foot tall and 250 pounds? He was a 6 foot, 250 pound baby.
See, that in itself is funny. Without him saying a word, that's funny.
And what's
you love Jonathan Winters.
Let me check him out.
There's a movie he's in, too, with all those stars.
Mad Boy.
Yes. Yeah.
Number 21, I disagree. I don't think he deserves, I think he's more like 30 or 40. Bob Newhart. Funny.
He's
but
really dry.
Yeah, I disagree with that. Number 20, Mitch Hedberg.
Oh, yeah. He's way up
not,
there.
Not as well known as a lot of others, but he's really
his
really,
delivery. I mean, it'll have you in tears.
Funny. And it wasn't until recently I even knew who he was, and I went and watched some of his stuff. Number 19, Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks.
Oh.
Now this is not a stand-up routine, but if you want to see Albert Brooks and how funny he can be, go download or on demand the movie Living. I think it's Living in America.
Something America.
Lost in America.
Lost in America.
Lost in America. Albert Brooks.
Oh my goodness.
He plays there's a couple. He's the guy, and he decides to cash out everything he has and get a motor home and go see the country. And they get to Vegas, and they lose everything in Vegas. His wife gets in the casino and loses their entire life savings. It is hysterical. So Lost in America, Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks gets
that,
number 19.
There's an Albert Brooks movie called The Muse. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
That's pretty funny.
That's funny. Number 18, I disagree. Kevin Hart, he's funny, but is he the 18th funniest comedian ever? I don't think so. 17, now Landoff and his family... He's mentioned this before. Love this guy. Bill Burr. I don't think Bill Burr, to me, is that funny.
I've never actually watched his stand-up.
I'm not sure who he is.
I need to watch. Maybe I need to watch more. Maybe I need to give him another shot. Number 16 of the 50 funniest comedians, according to Rolling Stone, Billy Connolly. Never heard of him.
Ah, Scottish comedian. Absolutely hilarious.
Well, hilarious to you Brits. But we don't think the same thing.
Trust me,
funny.
You like him. He's
you think
great.
Benny Hill's funny?
He's the guy that
chubby guy, like to run around his underwear.
Really.
Okay, well that's good. There's hope for you. Number 15 of the 50 funny, Stephen Wright. I think everybody knows who Stephen Wright is. Number 14. Oh, I agree. Maybe he should be in the top 10. This guy I'm about to mention, to me, and it's an acquired kind of sense of humor that I get it, where some people like my wife would go, he's not funny. Andy Kaufman. My goodness, you talk about an original comedian. Who did stuff nobody else did. He wasn't the guy who came out, well, I almost didn't make it here tonight. A funny thing happened on the way. I got in some trouble. No, not Andy Kaufman. He came out and just was flat out bizarre. More bizarre than Steve Martin. More bizarre than maybe anybody. Andy Kaufman, number 14. Number 13, Bill Hicks. Sorry, can't help you. I don't know Bill Hicks. You guys know him? Well, according to this, he's the 13th funniest comedian ever. And we don't even
know
who he
is. I'm sure I'd recognize his face if I saw him.
Number 12. Can't disagree with this. Robin Williams. Maybe should be closer to number one. And I'm going to let you try to guess who the top three are. Number 11, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
The 11th funniest stand-up comic ever. Number 10. Lima, you'll be lost on this one. Mort Saul.
No idea.
You got to go back to the 50s, 60s.
Yeah, no idea.
No, he goes
way.
Wait,
is that the guy that did this cigar? The Mark, or was that Marx Brothers? No.
What are
no
you talking about?
This guy, I don't remember. He had a big nose, bushy eyebrows, and he always had a cigar.
Harpo Marx?
No. Groucho is the one with the eyebrows and the cigar. You bet your life. That's Groucho Marx.
Oh, is that?
No, Mort Saul is not Groucho Marx. Mort Saul was a political satirist. And I don't think he should be number 10. Number 9, Dave Chappelle. I don't disagree with that.
He's hilarious.
He is hysterical.
He is.
And Tim and I were talking off the air about when a comedian can go to the edge, to the point where after you watch him, you go, I cannot believe that guy said that. That's the category Dave Chappelle would fall. So he's the 9th funniest stand-up comic. Number 8, I cannot disagree with this, even though he's in prison, Bill Cosby, in his day, was hilarious and clean.
Yeah.
He's a clean rapist.
Yeah.
Clean rapist comedy.
Yep. Oh, my God.
Bill Cosby. Number 7. Clean rapist. I don't disagree with this either. Jerry Seinfeld. Another clean comic who works clean and can still be hysterical, which is proof you can be funny and not say the F word in every sentence. And Seinfeld has proven it. Number 6, I can't disagree with this either. Joan Rivers.
Yeah,
you agree?
She's funny.
Top 10? You belong there? You
yeah,
think?
Mm-hmm. She yeah. belongs there.
Okay, I agree. Number 5, I agree with this too, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
He makes you uncomfortable, but you're laughing so hard you get over being uncomfortable.
Although I think I would switch him and Dave Chappelle. Like, I think Dave Chappelle should be in the top 10.
I think Dave Chappelle is more creative.
Yeah, definitely.
Than Chris Rock. Number 4, and then I'll let you guys just take a run at the. I don't agree with this. I don't agree that this guy's the 4th funniest stand-up comic ever. Louis C.K. Sorry,
nah.
Never saw his act.
He did something about Cinnabon once and Cinnabon icing that was pretty funny, but
I kind of saw him a little bit on, and he didn't. Do it for me. It's just
stand-up,
like it just didn't do it.
His stand-up was okay. His TV show was meh.
Yeah.
All right, there are 3 left. The top 3. These are
I can name 2 of them.
Well, hang on. According to Rolling Stone, these are the 3 funniest stand-up comics ever. Go ahead. Who?
One of them has to be George Carlin. And the other, it is. And one of them has to be Richard Pryor.
It is. That's 2
so
of the 3.
I don't know who the 3rd would be.
You won't believe it because I don't agree. Lenny Bruce. See, Lenny Bruce was more edgy than funny. I absolutely don't agree with that. That Lenny Bruce is the 3rd funniest stand-up comic ever. But yes, Pryor, when you watch this Comedy Store, you will see how every single comedian, when they're asked to name the comic, they go Richard Pryor.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
The documentary on him, you know, obviously his heyday was in the early 70s when he was starting to get real big.
Yeah.
And this is before the internet, this is before this, and radio DJs, controlled the earth back then.
Right.
And word would get out that he would show up at a comedy club, and it would just be like, everybody would rush over there, because they knew he was going to play 3 shows, and everybody would just, a DJ say something over the air, and people just drop what they're doing and rush over there knowing that he was going to be there. you imagine that kind of drawing power?
You'll love this documentary because Pryor's a big part of it, and they show vintage clips. They show early performances on stage at the Comedy Store of Leno and Letterman and Pryor when you hardly recognize. Jay Leno's hair was 8 feet tall. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy had a ton of hair, and so did Letterman, just a big afro looking thing. It's funny to watch these people. Leno didn't even have the white skunk strip in his hair,
no.
which oddly enough turned dark when the rest of his hair turned gray, and now he's all gray.
Yeah.
But the skunk strip turned black.
Yeah.
So, yes, Pryor is the god in the world of stand-up comedy. But the other thing that you'll take away when you watch this, it's called The Comedy Store, is how much most of us would never ever want to live this life. It is a brutal life of rejection and more rejection and more rejection. And the one exception was Freddie Prinz, who didn't have a lot of rejection. He was discovered at the Comedy Store, immediately put on Carson. Carson calls him over to the couch, gives him his stamp of approval and endorsement, and immediately Freddie Prinz's career takes off. So the one guy who didn't have to live a life of multiple rejections is also the guy who killed himself after just 2 years as a star.
Do you know why he killed himself?
Well, according to his best friend who's interviewed in this thing, who's another comedian, he just couldn't handle, think about it. You go from nobody to at the time, the biggest star in comedy, Freddie Prinz, your own TV show, you're booked in Vegas. You're 19 years old, for goodness sakes. And he couldn't handle it.
Too much.
And they said multiple times, one of the people, I forgot who's telling the story, said that he gets a call from Freddie Prinz, and Freddie Prinz says, I've got a gun, and I'm going to kill myself, and I just wanted to call you and say, I love you and thank you, and I'm blowing my brains out. And the guy goes, no, Freddie, hang on. And he rushes over to Freddie's house, and there are 8 other people there who he's also called. And he says, Freddie, what's going on here? What are these? He says, nah, I just wanted to see who would come. He just wanted to see who cared about him. And so, it's twisted. And then the one night, of course, he actually did it. He blew his brains out. And so on one hand, you know, you'd think the people that would jump off a building or whatever are the people who just years of rejection and never the big break. No, the guy who did that was the guy who did get the break and didn't have to go through a lot of rejection. Freddie Prinz. Chico and the Man was the TV series. And I never watched it, but I know who Freddie Prinz was. So The Comedy Store, Showtime. Check it out. I think you'll like it. We'll do a little business. Dan Buffa will be in here in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. I see we've got calls, and I didn't take them, and I apologize for that. We'll get to them right at the top of the hour. Hockey Bob, hang on. We'll get to you. And anybody else that wants to call, 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Every once in a while, I start having little flashbacks of when I was a kid. And I've told this story before. In my entire life, before I left home on my own, we had one new car. And it was new, but it was the most basic stripped-down car you could get. It was a Chevy Bel Air. There was one cheaper, and it was the Biscayne. And we bought it from Sibley Chevrolet in Selmer, Tennessee. And my brother and I rode over with my dad to pick it up. Maybe the most exciting day of my childhood was pulling up and they were washing our new Chevy. It would have been a lot more fun if my dad hadn't agonized over the payments on this $2,500 brand new car that he bought. And it kind of took the fun out of it, watching him just agonize when he'd go to make the payment. But it was a big day. And when I think of Chevy, I think of that. Our only new car in all the time that I grew up. And you know what, folks? It still should be a big deal. It should be exciting every time somebody buys a new car, even if your new car is a used car. We can't lose that. Unfortunately, at some dealerships, the experience is one that keeps it from being exciting and special. Not at Johnny Londoff. You know, somebody like me, and I've had lots of cars, I still get excited. I still get excited about a new car. I do. And everybody should. Whether you trade once a year, once every 10 years or 15 years, it's a big, big deal. And they should be excited for you, and they are, at Johnny Londoff. So whether you are somebody who gets a car every year or two or 10 or 15, go where they understand this should be an exciting day when you get your new car, even if your new one is pre-owned. And, of course, pre-owned, you have two choices. You can go Florissant, where the Chevy dealership is, or the Autoplex in St. Peter's. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet. Everything you need to know is on their website, where you can shop 24/7. Londoff.com. Don't go away, because Dan Buff is here. It's, that's okay, 4 o'clock, 590 The Fan.
Start listening today. KF